Hi, I'm Ange Lavoie-Pierre.
And I'm Chris Dengate, and this is The Signal.
It's been 2 years since a teenager was killed while working for the Dole.
He was telling me that they overwork him. Like, I don't know what he meant by that. Unfortunately, he's not here to tell us. Only Josh can tell us that.
Josh Park Fing's death rang alarm bells about the safety of the Work for the Dole program. But 2 years on, what's been done about it?
We aren't seeing any evidence that these sites are getting safer. If anything, the conditions are only getting worse.
Is Work for the Dole putting lives at risk? That's today's Signal.
Hello.
G'day, it's Chris.
How you going, Chris?
That's Ian Park, Josh's dad. He told me about another call he took back in 2016, the hardest call of his life.
When I had a phone call saying that police were looking for me, and apparently it's something about your sons, I bit the bullet and rang his mother and left a message, and she rang me back about 15, 20 minutes later, and we spoke at 8:30, the 19th of April 2016. And that's when she informed me that he'd passed.
So Josh was just 18 when he died. He fell from the back of a flatbed trailer at a showgrounds in Queensland on a Work for the Dole site.
Well, Josh was a very bright young lad. He wasn't really academic sort of orientated. He was a very much hands-on sort of person. Our last conversation was about 4 hours before he passed that day. Basically, he hurt his back, and whoever he notified had actually said to him that the paperwork they couldn't be bothered filling out.
Did you find out exactly what happened on the work site?
As far as I'm aware, apparently the tractor hit a bump, slipped the gear, the trailer jolted, and he fell off. In all cases, I don't care how long the showground's been there, how much experience any of them people have there, on that side, it is still never safe to ride on the back of a trailer.
So I remember Josh's death because it put Work for the Dole's safety record squarely in the spotlight. And today there are rallies being held around the country to coincide with the anniversary. Despite opposition to the program, the government is still backing it. So why?
Nice soggy day.
And you've got to just weed them.
Now, is that a weed?
Yep.
That's a weed, is it? No, yeah. That doesn't look like it.
That's a weed there. That's
so before weed. He became the Prime Minister, Tony Abbott gave Work for the Dole a go himself. That was back in 2000.
And in that clip, he does all this labouring work with a bunch of young people.
What do you think of this?
Well, you guys all work pretty hard.
And it actually does look like pretty hard yakka.
Yeah, especially for, you know, about $280 a week. So what's it for exactly?
Yeah, so unemployed workers to essentially justify their receipt of benefits are asked to perform anywhere between 15 to 30 hours a fortnight, basically working with charities, businesses.
That's Jeremy Paxton from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union.
Basically in an effort to increase people's skills, experience, you know, workers are sort of...
The way the government sells it is like you get your Centrelink, you get your benefits, your Newstart or your youth allowance, but then you also get some work experience and some skills and then you might end up with a job at the end of it.
That's how they sell it, yeah.
And so it's not compulsory though, is it?
No, but what we find is a lot of unemployed workers don't know that there are many ways to comply with their mutual obligations. Work for the Dole is just one of them. They can also do voluntary work. They can study. But we find that job agencies increasingly only give unemployed workers the option of Work for the Dole because it essentially means that, you know, every person they put through the Work for the Dole program, they get more money.
So these providers have a financial incentive to put people through the Work for the Dole program.
The employers too, because they get subsidies and free labour.
But what's in it for the workers?
I feel kind of like the point of it is to make you feel bad for not having a job.
That's Claire Sullivan. She's recently gone on the Dole. So what do you have to do now?
I have to go work in an op shop. I only found out I was meant to go and work for the Dole like a week before, and I emailed my unemployment officer guy, and he was like, oh, yeah, okay, like, let's find you something.
So the idea with Work for the Dole, or the stated idea behind this program, is that it teaches you something and kind of makes you more employable. Has that been the case for you?
No.
You're quite emphatic about that.
Yeah, I don't know what the point of... So my unemployment place is not as bad, apparently, as other places, but I don't see the point of it. Most of the time I get text messages from my unemployment agency saying, like, do you have a... There's a job out in Broadmeadows, which is really far away and not near me at all, and it's like, for a forklift truck driver, interviews tomorrow. But I'm like, I don't reply because I'm like, I don't have a forklift license and I don't live near Broadmeadows, and they're like the only job offers that my unemployment agency ever get me.
So it seems like an overall pretty negative review of Work for the Dole.
Yeah, I think I personally think the point of it is to have like something that they show people who have enough money to pay taxes, that's like, look, these people are doing things for the community. We're making these scoundrels work for community. But it's like, it doesn't really do anything, and it just makes me feel like a piece of shit to not be able to get a better job or something.
Not the best job, but not the worst either. That said, Jeremy Paxton from the union reckons a lot of the other options are pretty tough.
You know, doing a lot of sort of outdoor gardening, maintenance, labouring, chopping down trees, that kind of thing. And then, you know, someone who came to complain that his Work for the Dole activity was picking up used syringes by the side of the highway. So there's a lot of sort of, outdoor maintenance, sort of clean-up grunt work, I guess you could call it. It's just a very unregulated program in that way.
Are these guys receiving training?
We know some of them do, but we're hearing that... through our hotline, and looking at government data as well, we hear that a lot of these workers aren't getting proper training, and that these sites aren't complying with sort of standard workplace health and safety procedures. There was a government commission report by Ernst & Young released in 2016, and if you read through that, it basically concludes that 64% of the sites that this government commission report investigated weren't complying with standard workplace health and safety measures.
Picking up syringes, that does sound pretty dangerous.
Yeah, that's the union's argument. In fact, it says about 30% of the calls to its public hotline are specifically about safety on Work for the Dole sites.
So like a third?
Pretty much a third. Now, the government says that the actual injury rate is just 1%, you know, and that's far below the general workplace rates of 4.3%. But the union reckons a lot of injuries aren't actually being reported, and this guy agrees.
It's pretty difficult because they're caught between the job agency, which says you must attend this place at this time, at this place, or we're going to take your dole off you, and I guess what they call the host, which is where you're doing the work.
David Beatty is a sole practitioner lawyer who's represented several injured workers. He reckons one of the big problems is... there's an imbalance of power.
The reality is you're really under the direction of your host. Your employment agency just tells you to be there at a certain time. They're not on site. And the host is the person that directs you with work. I've seen people say, look, I've actually got a bad back. I've got injuries. I don't really think I should be doing this type of work. And they've been told, well, you just got to do it. You've been assessed as suitable and that's that. And then they've gone on to be injured. In terms of claiming compensation, it's made very difficult because there is an injury line, but as far as I know, that goes to the insurer, who I've had experience of as just simply dissuading claims, just saying, well, you're better now, you've had an aspirin, there's no point lodging any sort of claim. They're often given the impression that they can claim work cover, which generally they can't, so there's a lot of intimidation in the system.
So wait, no one doing work for the dole is covered by workers' comp?
Nah, and David Beatty reckons they should be.
Where somebody's on work for the dole and they're working with employees, taking the same physical risks, to me that seems very unfair if you're loading furniture into a van with someone who's fully covered by work cover and you've just got this pretty skimpy insurance policy that usually doesn't cover most things to back you up. On the other side of the coin, they're out of the work cover system, so they have a broader range of people they can sue, and they've got perhaps more rights to sue than an injured worker who's constrained on the workers' comp laws. But overall, I think they're pretty constrained.
Okay, so is this right? Technically, they're not employees, so they aren't covered by workers' comp, and if they are injured at work, they pretty much have to sue the employer to get anywhere.
Yep, spot on. And there's no real obligation for job placement agencies to tell those workers their rights, so most don't really know what they need to do.
Having said that, we know the government's still committed to this program. It says Work for the Dole is highly effective for some people. In fact, it says 27% of Work for the Dole participants, so one in four, go on to get jobs within 3 months.
But the union says that's pretty much beside the point and says it's only a matter of time until there's another death on a Work for the Dole site. And Josh's dad has the same fear.
The amount of people that keep getting hurt time and time again, oh, it's definitely going to happen. The simple fact is no one knows what they're doing with it and no one is smart enough to know how to fix it. At the end of the day, what happened, happened. At the end of the day, it shouldn't have happened the way it did.
Charges have been laid against Josh's employer, the supervisor, and the job agency, and that's before the courts.
Thanks for listening to The Signal. You can get in touch at thesignal@abc.net.au. We'll be back tomorrow.
See you later.